miles. Do your part to encourage farmers, support the local economy, and reduce burning of fossil fuel by buying more food that is locally grown. For more information, check out earthcareradio.org. I'm Vicki Wolf with CLEAN, Citizens League for Environmental Action Now. And that's Earth Care for today and a better tomorrow.
It's 3 o'clock and you're listening to KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. Coming up next, we have the New Capital Show with Leo Gold, followed by Free Speech Radio News and KPFT Local News at 4 o'clock. Stay tuned. Welcome to the New Capital Show. Good afternoon. How is everybody doing? 90.1 FM KPFT here on October 8th on another lovely day in Houston, Texas. And all I can say is that I'm ready for summer to end. I don't know about the rest of you, but I am ready for a nice, cool, dry autumn day. So if anyone out there can make that happen, please go ahead and do so. You don't need to wait any longer. You can pull the trigger on that. That would be my wish for that to happen as soon as possible. www.newcapitalshow.com is our website. I have a couple of tickets to give away. It's a little bit late because the event is tonight, but the events are always great. Progressive Forum puts on a great speaker series here in Houston. It's really top notch. If you haven't been, it's at the Wortham Center in the Cullen Theater. Really, really top notch, well done speaker series. And Randall Morton runs it. They have had lots and lots of fantastic speakers. The speaker tonight is Karen Armstrong, who is, according to the blurb here, she's arguably the most lucid, wide-ranging, and consistently interesting religion writer today. And Lord knows we need some lucid religion writers today. And we have one. Her name is Karen Armstrong. She has a book called The Case for God. She first gained prominence with her Groundbreaker book, A History of God, The 4,000-Year Quest of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Other books, The Battle for God, A History of Fundamentalism, a book about Buddha in 2001 called simply Buddha, and The Bible, a biography, 2007. She has participated in Bill Moyers' remarkable series, The Genesis, on PBS. And since the attacks of September of 11, 2001, she has been in demand as an authority on Islam and religious compassion. She will speak tonight at 7:30. And we're giving away two tickets. Now, here's the thing. We're not going to do it by phone because I decided it would be chaos. People calling in to get on the show and people calling in to do the tickets, we'd have a traffic jam. So what I've decided is the fifth new Facebook friend of me, Leo Gold, we'll get the tickets. So if you're on Facebook, and I think a lot of people are, and if you're not, I'm sorry. I apologize. That's all I can say. I'm sorry. Facebook friend me, and the fifth person will get two tickets to Karen Armstrong speaking tonight at the Wortham Center downtown. Also, you'll have to come get these tickets because they're here. They're here in my hands. And so you'd come by the station. The station is here in the Montrose, which I don't know if anybody saw was named by something named Montrose, one of the 10 best neighborhoods in the United States. That's why I live here and work here and have made my life here, because it's that great of a place. So you'll have to come to this great place called Montrose to the station and get the tickets. But you know, if you're coming from the west side of town or anywhere near, it's near the Wortham Center down to where, you know, we're close to downtown. So you could come on the way to the Wortham Center and pick the tickets up. We'll put your names on them. Fifth person to Facebook Leo Gold on Facebook. Again, our web address, www.newcapitalshow.com. You can sign up for our newsletter, send me email, anything that you want to do. Also, podcasts and all sorts of other information available. Telephone, 713-526-5738. We will be taking your calls. I've had such fun lately taking your calls and talking with you that we're going to keep doing it. 713-526-KPFT, 713-526-5738. Those of you just scanning the dial looking for interesting radio, join us here at 90.1. You will hear interesting radio always. When I'm done at 4 o'clock, we'll have an hour of news from Free Speech Radio News, the crew at KPFT Local News. They do a fantastic job. At 5 o'clock, Democracy Now! Rebroadcast of this morning's show. It's our flagship show, incredible news feature show that airs daily and brings all sorts of viewpoints that you never knew about. So that's what's coming up over the next few hours. 713-526-5738. Let me get to a few news items. There is lots. Somehow I'm seeing lots and lots of innovation going on, and I am so pleased to see it, because everybody's talking about economic recession and difficulty. Yes, there's difficulty and there are problems and challenges, but we cannot forget that there are amazing, amazing things going on in the world of American innovation, American engineering, and worldwide. And I guess I've been on this kick since I got my iPhone and have just been absolutely astounded. You know, I don't know why. It took me a couple years to get one, but I got one. And suddenly I'm seeing all sorts of stuff. Here's something that got some attention on New York Times the other day. Adding health advice to online medical records. This article talks about a new service that's available online. The national healthcare debate right now is all about giving more people affordable access to doctors and hospitals. Yet the vast majority of healthcare decisions, 80% or more, are really made by individuals instead of medical professionals. Whether the choices are about diet and exercise, God, don't talk to me about those decisions. I wish I always made the right decision on those, but I don't, but I try. But there's help for me. I'm about to tell you about it. Or ways of managing chronic conditions like diabetes and heart disease. The long-term answer to improving the health of the nation's population and curbing costs, experts agree, is to help people make smarter decisions day in and day out about their own health. And the most powerful potential tool in the march toward intelligent consumerism in healthcare may be the web, the internet. That is why on Tuesday, a startup company led by Adam Bosworth, former head of the Google Health team, plans to become the newest entrant to the online consumer health business. Already, surveys show that a majority of adults in America routinely scour the internet for health information. I know I do. A doctor tells me something, and then I go look it up and just make sure. In fact, here's the next sentence in the article. Doctors joke that the standard second opinion of diagnosis and treatment has become a patient's Google search, with the results printed out and brought into the doctor's office. Doctors may joke about that, but it ain't a joke. It's no joke. I think it's great. People need to be empowered with information. But the web is still mainly a trove of generalized health information. The ideal, health experts say, would be to combine personal data with health information. You got that? The ideal, health experts say, would be to combine your personal data with health information to deliver tailored health plans for individuals. Health plans, not insurance plans. It's a health plan. You know, you need to do this with your eating. You need to do this with your exercise. You need to do this with your blah, 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 whatever. That is what Mr. Bosworth and his San Francisco-based company, Keas, that's spelled K-E-A-S. Don't ask me. It's called Keas. That's what they mean to do. Using the Keas system, for example, a person with type 2 diabetes might receive reminders, advice on diet and exercise, questions and prompts presented on the website, or delivered by email messages or text messages, all personalized for the person's age, gender, weight, and other health conditions. Although success is far from certain, Keas has some big partners, including Google Health and Microsoft Health Vault. Health technology experts say that Keas is at the forefront of the effort to combine advanced web and database technology so it can personalize health education. The promise, they say, is a big step forward for online health tools and could accelerate their adoption. David Kibbe, who is a health technology expert with the American Academy of Family Physicians, what does he say? He says, this is the next generation of applications for online health care. Now, everybody knows the president has been talking about how much we need to do to make the health system more efficient. And this is a perfect example as far as I'm concerned. I actually went and signed up and got a Keas account. I put my stuff in, and we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It's asking me to commit to telling it if my goal was to exercise 3 times a week, so I put that in, and it wants me to log 2 days of meals, so I'm committing to put the meals in for 2 days. And it's going to come back and start giving me feedback and information. It's going to track my mood. Good luck on that, if it can keep up. Now, I'm not here to advertise for Keas. I've just signed up for the first time. But this is exactly the type of thing that we need to be doing and innovating in our country, along with the effort to innovate our healthcare plans. And, of course, the news today out of Congress is that the Congressional Budget Office is giving a green light to the cost analysis that's being done on the Democratic side of the health bill. From Washington, the Senate Finance Committee legislation to revamp the health care system would provide coverage to 29 million uninsured Americans, but would still pair future federal deficits by slowing the growth of spending on medical care. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office said Wednesday. Right? And over the past few months, what we've seen is that the CBO and other budgeting agencies of Congress have weighed in at different times, some saying, no, the plans are going to bust the budget. No, they may not. We don't know. We need to do more research. This is the latest one to come out, and this is buoying up healthcare reform efforts. The much-anticipated cost analysis showed the bill as meeting President Obama's main requirements, including his demand that health legislation not add to the deficit. The analysis, which says the legislation, and this is the Senate legislation they're talking about, the legislation that's in the Senate Finance Committee, where you've heard about the so-called Gang of Six. This is the committee led by Max Baucus of Montana. That's the plan that the CBO is analyzing and speaking about here. The analysis, which says the legislation would cut future deficits by $81 billion over 10 years. That's pretty good. That's not chump change. $81 billion, that beats a dirt sandwich. clears the way for the Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus to push for a panel vote within the next few days. It also sets the stage for Democrats to take legislation to the floor for debate by the full Senate this month. Lots going on in health care. And as I've said, we should remain optimistic that we're going to see reform efforts. And we should be heartened by technology efforts that are going on in places like Silicon Valley, the Mayo Clinic, here in Houston. Lots and lots of terrific ideas and healthcare professionals here in Houston. No question. One of the centers of healthcare in the United States. We as a nation can settle for much more than getting people screaming about Nazis over the issue of healthcare. And my perception is that we're past that. Everybody had their fun for a few days in August. And as I said last week, don't be scared and don't let it get you down. It's just the way it is. We are progressives. We're going to keep doing what we do. We're going to do what we always do. We change the world. So keep at it. Don't stop. News from coal country. I haven't talked much about coal lately. I've talked a lot about coal over the years, of course. Coal was one of the first things that I really led off the initial shows about coal. Because coal is one of the places where you can clearly see that the full costs of that activity, mining coal and then burning coal, are not paid. That bill is not paid in any way, shape, or form close to what its costs are. While I'm talking about it, I'm going to see if I can find this article in the Wall Street Journal today. The news over the past week or couple of weeks is that the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, which is a department of the executive branch, so it is basically under the control of the president, has decided to put a red light on 75 applications, something like 75 applications, to do what's called mountaintop removal. Mountaintop removal is a way of mining which is basically done in West Virginia, where rather than digging a traditional mine, a tunnel, right, you've got, you know, when you hear coal mine, you get in your mind this tunnel. For probably a couple of decades now, the coal companies have decided that's just too hard to get at the coal, so we would rather do something different. And what they would rather do is blow the mountain up. Literally. I'm not kidding you. They blow the mountain up. First, all the trees are removed, right? And when you have mountains, generally what you have at the base of mountains in West Virginia are streams and creeks. Beautiful places. I was in West Virginia a couple years ago rafting. It's gorgeous. In places where the mountains haven't been exploded. And of course, this is very, very upsetting to coal companies and people who are engaged in this effort in West Virginia, so-called miners. They're not really miners. They're detonators. And then they're dump truck drivers. They're not miners. There's nothing mining about it. You know, a 19th century coal miner would not recognize this at all. They were like, mining? This is warfare. It is. It's warfare on nature. And so they're, of course, very, very upset. Michael Snelling, head of surface operations. The head of surface operations. Right? That's a nice euphemism. surface operations, i.e. head of destroying mountains in the United States of America. Michael Snelling says, they are trying to find a way to kill us a little bit at a time. Death by a thousand cuts. Which had five permits delayed by the EPA last week. Mr. Snelling said EPA requirements to protect streams might be too burdensome for other projects. Too burdensome. What does he mean by too burdensome? What's the burden that he's talking about? Cost. He's talking about money. The EPA has long had oversight. I'm reading from New York Times, actually Wall Street Journal. The EPA has long had oversight authority over permits that relate to mining's impact on waterways, but has challenged few of them until this year. You think it doesn't matter who's president? Really? It matters. It may not matter as much as we want it to matter, but it matters. Hal Quinn, the CEO of the National Mining Association, said more delay in study is at cross purposes with our nation's need for affordable energy, investments, and secure jobs, right? They always, always pull out the economic card. These perverted destroyers of our nation always pull out the economic card. You got to let us destroy West Virginia in the name of affordable energy, investments, and secure jobs. Go tell that to Adam Bosworth, who just left Google to start another company to track the nation's health care. I promise you that guy is involved in investments and secure jobs. Go ahead, Hal Quinn, CEO of the National Mining Association. Go tell Adam Bosworth, recently departed from Google, that you stand for investments and secure jobs. And, of course, affordable energy. Affordable. Why is coal affordable? Why is coal affordable? Why is mountaintop removed coal affordable? Because you have decided, Mr. Quinn and Mr. Snelling, that removing mountains doesn't have a cost. Right? It's free. Shouldn't have a cost. You should just be allowed to do it. Can you imagine if I went and said, I'm going to go blow up the Chisos Mountains in West Texas? But it happens in West Virginia every day, and that state has been almost powerless to stop its own destruction. Until we, the voters, have come to their assistance. We progressive voters. There's a figure here. Startling. Where is it? It's the amount of dynamite used daily. Here it is. At a typical mountaintop site, a mining company clears miles of hardwood forest. It then drills holes and packs them with explosives to blast rock, reducing the elevation of a mountain by as much as 800 feet. How much is 800 feet? Well, the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C. is 555 feet tall, as I recall from my childhood. So it's about 250 feet taller than the Washington Monument, is how much they remove of the mountain. Nearly 3 million pounds of explosives are used each day in West Virginia for coal mining. 3 million pounds of explosives a day. Can you imagine what it looks like after that? Day after day, the state of West Virginia is being destroyed, and the EPA has said, stop. Stop. We're not sure about this. Massey says it works to restore landscapes. How can you restore a mountain? Please. He says, Mr. Snelling says, we live here. We care about doing a good job with the environment. We care about doing a good job with the environment after they are detonating the mountains of West Virginia. He can honestly, with a straight face, make that statement. The industry or environment calculation is particularly stark in this town in West Virginia's western mountains. Whitesville's bowling alley, this is the town that the reporter's reporting from, and movie theater closed years ago. So what? The bowling alley and the movie theater closed years ago. Hold my violin. In a town of 300 residents, 30% live below the poverty line. I'm sorry to hear it. You need to go put in an application with Mr. Bosworth. But destroying the state of West Virginia should not ever be an option. You want to mine coal? It should be mined in an environmentally friendly way, using methods that have been used for hundreds of years. Digging a mine, digging a tunnel. That leaves the trees. It leaves the mountain. It leaves the stream. It leaves, therefore, the future. And it does cost more. But that's because that's what it should cost. The cost of mining coal should not be designed to be as cheap as it possibly can be. And that's exactly what's going on with the coal industry, is they want their product to appear as cheap as it possibly can because they are frightened of the brilliant engineers working in other businesses in the United States who are working in solar companies, in wind companies, in natural gas companies. They are afraid. They are not capitalists. They are not engineers. They are not economists. They are destroyers. And it's absolutely right that the EPA should put the halt to this perverse and disgusting practice. There should be no mercy for coal companies destroying mountains in West Virginia. None. None. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. We'll take a quick break when we come back. More of the New Capital Show. Back in a moment. Welcome back. We need one more Facebook friend. Next Facebook friend gets the tickets. We've got four. One more. 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. This is the New Capital Show. I'm Leo Gold. We'll be taking your calls in just a moment. I saw some article that mentioned, I think it was Wall Street Journal, Rush Limbaugh, our good friend over on the other radio stations, is interested in acquiring, of course, because, as you may know, Rush Limbaugh, you know how much Rush Limbaugh is paid? You know how we're allocating our capital in this country? Rush Limbaugh is paid $400 million, I think, over 10 years. $400 million over 10 years. What more do you need to know about the nation's priorities than that Rush Limbaugh is paid $400 million over 10 years? And he has a wonderful idea for his money. He apparently is interested in acquiring the St. Louis Rams football team. I love it. Do it. Rush, that's exactly where I want your money to go. It's a professional football. To some more overpaid guys. I want you, the most overpaid guy in the country, $400 million over 10 years, to go pay a bunch of other guys who were paid to do sports. $25 million a year or something. I don't know what football players are paid. I've got nothing against football, except that it's just way out of whack. Okay? I'm sorry. The thing's way out of... I used to watch it, too. I've talked before about when I was a kid and we went to IHOP, I collected those little helmets. Anybody remember those little IHOP helmets? And I put them in a Hot Wheels case. Remember the Hot Wheels case? What I discovered is that the little IHOP helmets fit perfectly in the Hot Wheels case. And I walked around like with a little briefcase as a kid full of NFL helmets. But then I grew up. So I think it's absolutely perfect. Rush, I hope you get it. I hope you spend the full 400 bazillion on the Rams and you get a football team, and that's just perfect. Waste of capital going to other wastes of capital in our society. Perfect. Love it. Do it. I get to talk about it a little bit more. Let's go to the phones. Again, I'll give out the number. 713-526-5738. First up is going to be Drew. Drew, welcome to the New Capital Show.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
A pleasure.
Have you ever heard of RFID?
Is that radio frequency something?
Excellent, yes, identification device. Uh-huh. That's going to be the end-time game of this whole medicalization information at anyone's exposure.
I don't care. I hate to say it. I don't. You know, they. You know, Drew. They know everything about me. Kind of like already. You know, if information tech. Not my perspective. I'm going to listen to yours. But my perspective is if IT can help us cut costs and bring our costs down and make us healthier, then they can know what they want to know about me. I don't care. Now, how do you see it?
Yes, sir. You know, I agree with your opinion on that. Except for the fact that anytime you allow a foreign object in your body will reject it. And also, all of our bodies, the human species, is electrical current. And anytime there's a chip put in your body, you can be turned on, turned off. Uh-huh. And this is all provable.
Yeah.
This wasn't thought of overnight.
Well, Drew, why don't we get to, like, ID cards with information on them first, and then we can move on to having them implanted in my head. You know, let's walk first. I'd be all right with an ID card. I don't really have much problem with it. I'm not big on these conspiracy theories that the move to enhance information technology in medicine is a big conspiracy to control us or get information. I think that we need to protect our privacy, no question about it, but
sir, it's not a conspiracy, it's an agenda.
An agenda, yeah.
And
yeah,
it's
fair
provable.
Enough.
It's provable.
Uh-huh.
Provable.
Yeah, I agree.
And also, I'd like to add, are you there?
Yeah.
the international community is wide awake, and you saw that in the result of what happened with the Olympics bill. They know what Obama is, the salesman for the New World Order, sir. I am not a neocon, and I am not a liberal Democrat.
No, you're not. You're something different, Drew.
But no,
you're in your own category.
No, I'm for the Constitution and Bill of Rights, and our number, we're over 80 million strong in this country, sir, and we're growing every day.
What label do you go under?
We go under the Constitution and Bill of Rights, patriots, Americans, all banners, race, color, and creed. We stand for what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong.
Okay.
There will not be no more of this ridiculous.
And how do you feel about mountaintop removal?
I think it's horrible. I'm not for destructing Mother Earth.
Good.
I'm for uplifting Mother Earth. I'm for geothermal. I'm for wave technology. I'm for all forms of free energy and not profiting from it, but also profiting from the human species' advancement through intellect and upholding individual thought and reason.
Drew, I think you and I can agree on a lot of things.
We can, sir, but we've got to cut through the matrix. I mean, we're splitting hairs on issues that really... A smart man once told me, when you look at the Mona Lisa, you don't get 2 inches from her nose and stare at it and go, wow, it's so beautiful. You get across the room and you look at the wall, mm-hmm. and you look at the frame, and then you look at the picture, and you slowly walk up to it. You take the whole thing in, and that's how you have to view this thing called New World Order, which has been planned and set into motion since 1913, and it goes way back all the way to our old... captors and still are the Anglo-Dutch British
right.
oligarchy. Thank you, family.
Great
thank
to
you,
great
sir.
To talk thank to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You and I, all of us, are the Matrix, and the Matrix is us. You want to change the Matrix? Change yourself. That's it. Don't be looking outside anywhere for the Matrix. It's right there with you. That's where the Matrix is. Next up is Mike. Mike, welcome to the New Capital Show.
How you doing, man?
I'm great.
That whole thing on mountaintop. First of all, let me just get started with the old Rush thing. I have a saying, anything done in a rush is done incorrectly. So let's just go right there first.
I hope he gets the Rams, and I hope they go 0-37.
You know what? I hope they lose every game, too. You know
no, actually, I don't. That's not fair. The players...
I don't mind St. Louis. It's a nice town, but they can do better than a guy like that.
Well, I hope he buys them, and I hope they change him.
They ain't gonna change him.
How's that? All right, what's up, Mike?
Too much money to sell his soul. About mountaintop removal, I'm from Colorado in the southwest corner.
Mm-hmm.
They tried that strip mining up there in Colorado. They did a small section that they were mountaintop removing until they discovered Anasazi ruins, and that put an end to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but from what destruction they already did, it's pretty nasty over there. I mean, it's growing back, but it's been, 20 years since it happened, and you still just see a big... barren rock pile.
It'll never there. Grow back, Mike. I don't know. You blow a mountain up, it'll never be. It's gone. It's finished. That's
it. It won't be a mountain
right.
per se, but I mean, you know, it's providing some sort of garbage. I don't agree with anything they're doing. I don't like what they're doing. You know, calling them destroyers is a harsh word. You know, they like to use buzzwords. Hey, let's just call them profiteers.
No, they're destroyers. No. They're destroyers. They're destroyers. That's the word.
I can't say that because usually when you say destroyer, it throws people off. You know, if you just say that they're out there for the money, you know, you've got to see these guys use all these sweet words to spin their lives to everybody.
But profiteer, Mike, is a euphemism for what it really is. It's destruction.
You're right. But,
And if people knew that their electricity was coming at the price of destruction, they might think differently. You know, 50% plus of our energy, of our electricity, comes from coal. And the coal business tries to they're liars. They're trying to tell us that it can be burned cleanly, and it can't. And they're trying to tell us that after they destroy mountains, they put it back, and they don't. It's all a lie. Now, I'm not saying you can't mine coal and burn coal. All I'm saying is, if you're going to do it, you must do it in an environmentally friendly way, and you must pay the full cost of your activity. They're not willing to do it. They're not willing to
do it at all.
They're not willing to. That's not a fair rule for them. That's not a fair rule. A fair cost for them is not a fair rule.
Well, I don't believe in the, you know, the buying the energy credits, they call it, where you could sit there, you know what, you pay us, we'll let you pollute this much. What is that? You know, they're right away giving those people what they want.
Well, yeah, so they infiltrated the government decades ago. Mike, thanks for the call.
Take care.
If it is not a fair thing to say, you may do it, but you must do it you can't destroy the mountain and the streams. They say, well, it's going to cost more. Tough. Then that extra cost is what it should cost. And if it causes electricity prices to rise, then that's where electricity prices should be. It is not right that we in Houston, Texas, should be driving around and living our lives, and if the electricity is coming from the destruction of the state of West Virginia, that we should not either, A, be being told about this day and night, or that our price signals should be wrong and we're paying an underpriced amount for electricity. That's why getting the price right is critical. And the coal guys don't want the price to be right. They know they can't compete against other forms of energy, some of which are emerging, many of which are emerging in our finest engineering laboratories in this country. They are fundamentally against fair economics, a fair environment, a fair rule that says, we'll let you have coal. You want to mine coal? Mine coal. You can't blow the mountain up, tear the trees down, and kill the stream. That no, guys. This is not 1870. No. But God Almighty, they've been doing it. They were doing it up until, you know, up until now. The Bush administration, they let those guys do whatever they wanted. They let them blow up whatever they wanted. You think George Bush cared about West Virginia? Screw George Bush. God, I can't stand that guy. What's he prancing around all the restaurants in Dallas these days? I'm sorry. Ann, you're next. Ann, welcome.
Thank you. I wanted to comment, it's not just West Virginia. In eastern Kentucky, the same thing's happening.
Yep.
And that slurry goes down, and so many of those mountain people are poor anyway, and it just destroys the water system. Where do you get water if you can't get it out of a mountain stream for them? And also, I know, 20 years ago, in taking a college course in Alabama, we went up to where they were just doing strip mining, and it was we took samples and we checked the creeks and things, and there was nothing alive in those. You know, we were looking for little bitty critters and even things like amoebas and so on. And because of that strip mining, there wasn't anything alive in that water, and it just looked like a desert with a bunch of rocks where they had, and that was strip mining. That wasn't blowing up the top of the
These
mountain.
Are among and the most beautiful places in our country. These are the Appalachian Mountains, some of the most rugged, steep, remote, beautiful places. And it's the remoteness of them that has led the coal companies to do their dastardly acts in those areas. And it's the impoverished state of the people there that has caused the rest of the nation not to care. Well, I care.
Thank you. I agree with you and understand from having seen it myself.
Thank you. Thank you for your call. Do you care? I care. Everyone in this country should have their environment protected. And if it takes federal intervention to do it, then it takes federal intervention to do it. Deal with it, folks. I loved Ken Burns' documentary about the national parks. I loved it. I loved it. Just loved it. Just fantastic. I want to watch it again and again. Really told the story. It really told not just a story about conservation. It told an economic story as well. And the same thing you're hearing these days, the people who are screaming about national health care. It's the same people who are screaming about, you know, their land was going to get taken away by the federal government back in 1870. Well, you know what? You know how you got that land out west? Hey, Montanans, you know how you got the land in Montana? Hey, Alaskans, you know how you got the land in Alaska? Let me tell you. Let me tell you how you got the land in Wyoming. You ready? All of you pioneers were getting a lot of arrows in the back because by 1870, Native Americans had learned how to fight back. They'd acquired horses. They'd acquired weapons. They understood the tactics. And all the pioneers charging out west to take their land, the land of the Native Americans, they knew how to fight back. And all the pioneers were starting to take arrows and guns and bullets. And what did you do? You called in the cavalry. Who did you call? The federal government. That's who you called. Ever heard of Custer? Ever heard of Phil Sheridan? It took the U.S. Army and the cavalry in a very stiff fight against very brave people, including women and children, Native Americans. It took the U.S. Army to take that land. And no sooner had the U.S. Army taken it than we're listening to you all squawking about the federal government's taking your land. Just a bunch of BSers. And now we hear echoes and ghosts of that same BS in healthcare debates, in energy debates. It's the same voices descended. No mercy. Keith, you're next. Welcome to the New Capital Show.
Thanks, Leo. Leo, I'm going to change the subject a little bit to the subject of waste in Houston, if you wouldn't mind.
Yep.
I guess it was maybe a year ago, I was listening to the show Building My House, and the issue of recycling in Houston was big on this show, and I want to tell you that since then I have a new job. I've actually gone to work for the city, and I'm managing the City of Houston Building Materials Reuse Warehouse. And what we do is we take donations from individuals and companies and stockpile. We take donations of reusable building materials from individuals and companies and stockpile it in a warehouse and give it to nonprofit organizations. We've been able to divert about 60 tons of material from the landfill since we've been open in April. And I've been on the job here about 2 weeks, but one of the things I really wanted to do is call your show because I was doing other work. I was in construction and I was listening to your show, and then now I find myself managing this new project.
Keith.
Yes.
You are my hero.
Well, you're my hero, Leo.
You are my hero. What do you want people to know about this city program?
Okay, great. Well, if you have one brick or that piece of plywood in your backyard, anything that looks like it could be reused, please bring it to us. We're at 9003 North Main. That's the end of North Main Street, just north of Cross Timbers on North Main. And we'll take it off your truck and we'll weigh it. We'll give you a donation receipt. And if you're a company, if you're a contractor and you ordered too much plywood, brick, whatever, a kitchen sink, we've got kitchen sinks over here.
So people can claim it as a donation of with some value on their taxes.
Well, I have to say that we're working that out with our legal department,
right,
but we cannot say that yes, you can.
Okay.
But I can say that a donation to the warehouse is, or to the city, is the same as a donation to a nonprofit.
Okay, and what's your website where people can find you?
Our website is www.houstonreuse.org.
Houstonreuse.org.
Mm-hmm.
Keith, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you very much.
I can't thank you enough.
Well, I'll email you later and
you're
tell
doing,
you more.
You're doing great work.
Well, so are you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And there you have it. You know, I live on a street where ranch houses were built in the immediate years after the Second World War. I live in a ranch house that was built in 1947. And all of those ranch, not all, but many have been torn down over the past few years, 10 years, and replaced by much larger homes. And the way that the houses have been torn down is just that. They've been a backhoe type thing comes and knocks it down. It takes it about, you know, these are 1,500, 2,000 square foot homes made out of wood and knocks them down in about 10 minutes or less. And just a few days ago, apparently a couple up the street bought one of the older ranch houses and is having the house deconstructed piece by piece, and the parts, I think, are probably going to Keith's operation. After 10 years of people not caring at all about knocking the thing down, trying to do it in the cheapest possible way, a couple is moving into our neighborhood who is deconstructing the house, taking all the wood and the brick and all the materials that can be reused, and is taking them to Keith, and they will then build their new home after that process is complete. Things change, my friends. We can change, too. Next up is Tom. Tom's been holding a bit. Tom, welcome to the New Capital Show.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to put a little comment. Every day I flip on the computer and read Jim Hightower.
Yep.
And today his have you looked at that?
I haven't. I haven't seen it today.
Thing for today is the Appalachian environment and the coal mining.
Yeah. We need to help those people out there.
So
we need to show them that we care.
That's something real quick. I couldn't find the Wall Street article. I'll look again for that. But Jim Hightower has that.
Thanks.
Interesting, next to that article is about Afghanistan. I was wondering if we could blow off all the mountaintops in Afghanistan. Or...
No, we cannot.
We cannot, okay.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks
and
for your
one
call.
More comment.
Real quick.
This is about Rush Limbaugh.
Hmm?
I hear so many people that dislike him. And I've got him right up there at the top of my list, along with old Richard Pryor and Rodney Dangerfield and all the greats.
He is he's a great entertainer, Tom.
If you don't find yourself rolling on the floor laughter after listening to him, I don't know what to say.
He is a great entertainer. There is no question about it.
Thank you.
Thanks. He is. Rush Limbaugh is a great entertainer. But he's no way to run a political philosophy. You know, this is a man who has expressed almost nothing but unremitting hatred. I know I'm pretty swept up today, but I mean, every show of his is an expression of almost unremitting hatred. And with a record like that of such consistent expression of hatred on a regular daily basis, there is only one conclusion that you can draw. And that is that that man hates himself far more than he hates all the things that he's busy hating each day. One more call today. It's going to be Ralph. Ralph, welcome to the New Capital Show.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great.
I wanted to touch on to just a slightly bigger picture than what you're talking about, which is basically environmental preservation. And to me, it's really about education. And you know, people buy into these false theories and that debate you're having between destroyer versus profiteer. And it's really about education. And someone with the correct type of education will see through these terms. I just see them for what they are. And I just started working at this new super elite private school, and I just found out, I just did a little census of my class, and I have 28 students. And out of the 28 students, 27 of them don't even know what evolution is. They don't believe in it. They don't even know about it. And to them, you know, it's a cut and paste. The land was given by God, and it's for us to do with it what we will. So to even talk about conservation you know, you have to have some kind of premise within that, which is that we are part of nature. We don't own nature. And it just blew my mind today that of all my students, only one of them, and he was a foreigner, only one of them actually understood or believed in evolution.
Yep. Ralph, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I think that it has been one of the, I think it's what Ralph says is correct. I think it has been one of the policies in this country of those who are opposed to progress. It has been one of the policies to destroy the educational system in this country because they believe that it works to their agenda. If you have people who don't know where electricity comes from, if you have people who don't know where humans come from, for that matter, if you have people who don't know about recycling and disposal of waste, if people don't know where their waste goes and the impact that it has, if you have people who don't know things, then they don't know enough to ask, and they simply become recipients of services and utilities without asking how things work. We're in a wonderful age. I started this show 7 years ago wondering, when are people going to start asking where things come from? And they are doing it now. People now know where electricity comes from. I'm not going to say most, but a lot. And I'm pleased to see that we are making progress. In the giveaway for tickets, we got to four names. So it's going to go to the fourth name. John Anthony. John Anthony. I'm going to send you an email. But if you're still listening, you got the tickets to see Karen Armstrong, apparently one of our great theologians. Karen Armstrong at the Progressive Forum tonight. Even if you still want to go, you should go. 7:30 p.m. is the show downtown at the Wortham Center. And Offshore is telling me that, John Anthony, you should come by as soon as possible. You should be here by 5:30 to pick up the tickets at the station. So, John Anthony, you are the winner, and I'm going to send you an email to that effect as well. We just got a few minutes left, and I just want to say that I am tremendously heartened by a lot of the changes that I'm seeing for the positive. I mentioned last week that Walmart stated, or this was one of the sons of Sam Walton, said that the recovery is going to be slow. We're not seeing recovery. We're not seeing people spend in the stores the way they were, and so recovery hasn't come yet. And an article in today's Wall Street Journal talking about how credit's hard to come by. Credit card companies' lines outstanding are much farther down because they're getting tighter on consumers. And I thought, that's not why credit's down. That's not what's going on. Wall Street Journal, you got it wrong. What's going on is people are taking on less debt. That's the recovery. The recovery is happening. People are understanding where their electricity comes from. We're recovering. People are spending and taking on less debt and living within their means. That's the recovery. People are listening to KPFT 90.1 FM. That's the recovery. And they're shutting off the other stations and listening to truth and fact, compassion and peace. I'll be back with you next week with another edition of the New Capital Show, www.newcapitalshow.com. Thanks to Offshore. Thanks to Kirsten, both of whom are critical to preparing me for this, and Stephen Wrighton for his work on our internet site. Up next is Free Speech Radio News, and then to be followed by KPFT News, and then Democracy Now! Take care.
KPFT wants to give a big welcome to our friends from around the Pacifica Network. That's because the Pacifica National Board meeting is being hosted in our city this weekend. KPFT welcomes listeners to attend public sessions for these meetings. These gatherings will happen at the Camden Plaza Hotel, 114 South Ritchie and Highway 225. The meetings happen Friday through Sunday, October 9th through 11th. Public comment periods will occur throughout the weekend. For a complete agenda, visit Pacifica Foundation.